2 Peter chapter 1, and I know last week I said 2 Peter, and then I kept saying 1 Peter, and I'm going to blame that on old age, Alzheimer's, dementia, and all the above that I guess I'm dealing with. I don't know, poor memory. But we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, and down through verse, 1 through 3, we'll take it in segments. And I know it's not in the bulletin, and nobody, I wasn't expecting you to know, but Wednesday we'll be out. I'll be at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Loveland, Ohio, and that's his annual missions conference. And they have an international dinner each evening at 5 o'clock, and they support well over 100 missionaries there in that church, just a small church. There's probably no more in the church than here in Sunday school class this morning. And maybe a few more. I don't want to sell him too far down the road. But he always has a good meeting every year, and he's asked me for the last few years to come and start that meeting on the first night and preach. And each night, like I said, with that dinner, they'll do Mexican one night, German the next night, Vietnamese the next night. And you say, what do they have in your night? I don't know. I ain't going. No. I'm coming to preach, man. So I'm going to be over there starting that meeting. And Chris Paponis was saved at that church. Pastors, Fellowship Baptist Church in East Ridge, Tennessee. As the crow flies, it's straight down I-75 right on the Georgia-Tennessee line. That's East Ridge, Tennessee. And I've been there many times and preached for Chris over the years. But Chris got saved there at Loveland, Ohio, him and his brother and his sister. And man, your memory floods your soul. And his sister, Barb, was married to Charlie Henry. And they come to our church when I pastored there in the Sharonville area. Vic wasn't up and running yet, I don't think, in those years, or just starting to get going. And then Vic started that church in the public school. And I went, Bonnie and I'd go, some of you kids, we'd sing, preach, but so I'm still a friend. So anyway, enough of that. Preaching over there Wednesday night, I won't be in. I know you thought I was just laying out, but I'm not. I'm actually going to go work. 2 Peter, and I don't know about you, but I am enjoying this weather. And I like this time of the year. The bugs are bigger. You can see them. And the worms that's eating my cabbage are, big as your finger. I'm waiting for that first frost. When the leaves start falling off, the squirrels are cutting all the hickory nuts there now. I just can't see them. But boy, when the leaves come off, they're in trouble. So I probably ain't shot a squirrel in 30 years. Oh, wow. Anyway, but I love this time of the year. We better go to work here. 2 Peter chapter 2. They'll have to edit all this out, all this nonsense out. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read those three verses there. But there were false prophets, and among... But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now that's three verses. I'll try to get through those if I can. But if you would notice there, verse 1, if you can remember 2 Peter 2:1, if you can remember that verse is probably the premier leading verse in the Bible against Calvinism. and the teachings that's out there on just the elect are saved. Because they say, well, God just chose a certain few that's going to get saved and get in. There's nothing we can do about anybody. That's kind of in a nutshell where they go with that. But this, if I'm to understand this right, he's number one talking about false prophets and false teachers, and we would assume, because the later on verses, that these people, although they could know God, but they didn't know God, and if they're in the group that didn't know God, but they're just religious, never saved is what I'm saying, because you can have two schools of false teachers and preachers, the saved bunch that actually got saved, and the unsaved bunch who are just religious. Yeah. So never forget that. Everybody's not, you're in a minority here. You're in a Bible-believing church, and then we'll go another step further and say, we're in a King James Bible-believing church. That boils it down to a little tiny group, because when you step out of this into all the other, let's just keep it in the Baptist circle. Most of them, and when I say this, are not even King James Bible-believing churches. So you're in a small group today. But what I wanted you to know about this verse, it's one of your power verses. When somebody says, well, are you guys Calvinists up there? Well, here's our comeback is, no, we believe whosoever will. That's what we say. Whosoever shall call. And that's a good verse. Romans 10:13. That if thou shalt, Romans 10:9, 10, 11, even 12. Throw 12 in there and verse 13. That's the whosoever will things. And John 3:16, we got that. But they'll take it another step. Well, there's no way, God's going to save, But see, what they miss there is he died for every sinner. Everybody was a sinner. Say, well, what about those guys out there preaching false doctrine? He died for them too. And that's what this verse says. There at the end, and I didn't even write this in the lesson. It's not in there, but I just happened to see it. It's one of my go-to verses for Calvinists. And I said, well, the Lord didn't just die for the elect's sake or just for a few people over here. He died for the sins of the whole world, and false prophets fall in that. And it clearly says here, there shall be false teachers among you, verse 1, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying, watch this, the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, they're not going to get saved, but it's not God's fault. He died for them. And when he died for them, you can say what you will, they could get saved if they wanted to. But a lot of times the want to is not there. All right. So we read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Verse 1 clearly is talking about false prophets and false teachers. That's our subject for the first verse. So you would say, okay, what are they? And that's a good question. You would say, who are they? And a lot of times we don't want to talk about who they are. We just kind of sidestep. Oh, they're out there, brother. They're out there, But who are they? And then are they here today or where are they? Did they just show up in Peter's day in the Old Testament and some in Peter's day? Or are they still here today? Where are they today? So we could say who or where, who, what, who, where, what, that thing. How? Well, the devil's powerful. Don't underestimate the power of the devil. Amen. So a false prophet, by definition, is someone that teaches or preaches something that is not scriptural in the Word of God, but the whole while claiming to be truthful and biblical or of God. Revelation from God. And even into the, I've got a note here, King James only guys. You get online and just type in King James only, it's untelling what you'll pull up. Why, man, you got split rapture people. You say, where do they get that? You've got people thought Obama was the Antichrist. He could be, but I don't think he is. No peace pact with Israel yet. That more about that later, next October. But you know what I'm saying? You got them preaching all kinds of stuff, and you're like, there's even Baptists that think, you know, the kingdom is coming, we're going to be here on earth, and they don't even believe in the rapture because the word's not in the Bible. So I don't want to go there, and I'm just talking about Baptist folks. So that false prophet is someone that teaches or preaches something contrary to the word of God, diametrically opposed to it. Now, it'll sound good. I'm not saying they don't have the ability. I'm not saying they haven't been educated. Some of them are pretty sharp, and you've got to be on your toes if you are ever confronted by one, because they'll ask you things in such a way you'll have you scratching your head. I don't know. And that's why Peter, in the book of Peter, says that we ought to have an answer for any man that asketh. And so that's why we lend ourselves to studying the word of God. Second little subpoint there, doctrine of salvation is probably the big issue when it comes to false preachers and teachers. So doctrine of salvation, now let me throw a catalog of things in there, but we'll deal with the major issues. When you talk about false doctrine, you'll find it when it comes to salvation. You'll find it when it comes to repentance. Well, they're all over the chart with that thing. You'll find it when it comes to filling, the filling of the Holy Ghost. You'll find it when the Word of God, they won't take a good stand on that, and that's the door to false doctrine. They'll have every translation under the sun. They'll be mixed up on the issue of tongues. They'll be mixed up on the issue of healing. And some of this stuff is right in our own ranks if we're not careful. The United Council of Churches, of which the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm not being mean here, I'm just telling you, we've got it everywhere, and I wanted to answer these questions. What are they? Who are they? And where are they? Well, today, the Southern Baptist Convention has now embraced WOKE, woke. Now, you say, what's that? Well, anything goes. If you have a transvestite come in, a woman dressed like a man or a man dressed like a woman, and they want to be part of your church, sing in your choir, teach your kids in the Christian school, you say, oh, Brother Phil, don't happen. Look, call CLA and check them out. The Southern Baptist Convention's already endorsing that and already bringing it in. And so that LBQU, I always get that. Acronyms kill me, man. Hold it to three. You know, VIP, I got that one. But when you got one about this long, I can't remember that stuff. I'm just going to say something like the queers and the fags. Whoops, I'm sorry. Did I say that? It just come out, John. I can't. But you're going to have those people wanting to come in and try to convince you that it's okay. And because they watched Helen DeGenerate, whatever that show is. And if you haven't noticed, every other TV show that's on, they've always got some fag over the corner someplace taking a major role in this thing. They're bombarding you with this philosophy. And the weak-kneed people in the churches, will just let it come on in. You say, what is that? That's letting the world come in and its evil ways. That, in essence, is what apostasy is. So you're going to have that woke thing. You're going to have Calvinism. It's always been around. You're going to have Spiritism. You're going to have, they're going to be mixed up on baptism. Preacherism, who can preach, who can't preach, anything but what the Bible says. They're going to be mixed up on prophets. Who's a prophet? Who can be a prophet? What is a prophet? Mixed up on Israelism. There's a group out there, I don't like to drop names, but Garner Ted Armstrong years ago, I didn't mean to say that. The British Israelites think that all the promises to Israel are for them now. What is that? False doctrine. Yeah. Hang on. So you got that Israelism, you got idealism. Well, I just got an idea that what's that? It's almost like pansyism. And I'm just throwing these terms out there. Charismatics. You say, what is it? Anything but sticking to the Word of God and doing what God told us to do. You have people, well, our preference here, preferencism. I've looked that term up, and I couldn't find it, so I made my own word. George Bush, he was doing it. Money, get wrapped up in money. And we could go on and on and on with the list. You'll find, and that becomes their focus. That becomes their forefront of everything they do. And so you end up with false doctrine. People say, well, I wondered why we have 100 different varieties and flavors of churches floating all over. This group up here believes that. They believe that down there. They believe that down there. And nobody wants to be recognized as a hellfire and damnation preacher anywhere. It's being watered down. Lukewarm. So the Old Testament identifies many such characters. It didn't start yesterday. Didn't start in Peter and Paul's day. It started back over there in the garden days. So, and we'll read in another place about the way of Cain. It might be right here. I can't remember where I read it again this morning, but it might be in the book of Jude. But we'll cover it here in a moment if we can get to it. But I wanted to say this. I believe Cain and Abel, remember Cain back over there? Adam and Eve's son? I think he was preaching false doctrine. Anything but believe the truth. He wasn't going to believe what God told Adam and Eve they had to do. Didn't want no blood, no sacrifice from him. So he got his own sacrifice up. And don't you know that thing filtered all the way down through there? And people still believe to this day that you can do it by your good works and it doesn't have to be by blood. And they'll say things, well, you guys up there preach that old slaughterhouse religion. Well, I don't like to refer to it like that. I like to refer to it of a sacrifice of God's only begotten Son who shed his blood willingly for you and I. But they want to title it, label it, slam it, make it sound worse than it is. I'm glad I'm blood-bought, amen? And it's the blood of Christ. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to 1 John chapter 4. We've been getting some good lessons on Wednesday night. And, you should have been in last Wednesday night. We had a time around here. I mean, the electric went off, the lightning flashed, the thunder clapped. And I thought we were going to get to go home early. We was all down praying, and the lights come on. I guess that's tell you what we get for praying. Amen. They come right back on, and so we was here till it was over. But people hanging around, we had a good time. We've been learning about some of these things, and he used this verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, Beloved, and he's speaking to saved folks here. John was a picture of the church, and he says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. There's a spirit hooked up with false teachers and false preachers, and it's not the Holy Ghost of God. They'll tell you it's the Holy Ghost of God or the angel Moroni, one of the two. Depends on which one you're following. And so here, and by the way, I don't like to drop any names. That's the Mormons that believe that Moroni stuff. Say what? False prophets. False prophets. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There's a spirit connected with it, and it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of the devil. But try the spirit. You say, how am I going to try a spirit? I can't step up with a spirit. Yeah, you can with that book right there. And if it don't line up with this book, it's wrong. We just don't like that kind of separation. So watch. He says, But try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, and he uses the same terminologies, are gone out into the world. Yes, sir. Verse 2, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and that in the flesh is a reference to the only begotten of the Father. Not a normal birth, not normal flesh. And how I know that is because the Bible says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. But the hireling and the false prophet and the false teacher will try to tell you he was a brother to Lucifer. And again, I don't like to drop names, but the Jehovah's Witnesses preach that stuff. And you say, well, you're going to make somebody mad. They're not going to come back. I hope they get mad and get saved. Say, does it happen like that? Once in a while. I got a feeling Malcolm there was ready to fight when Peter pulled out that sword and cut off his ear. How many of you know he wasn't aiming for his ear? Now, do you think he stayed lost very long after the Lord picked that ear up out of the dirt and put it back on his head? Now, there's no record of that. I'm just saying, I can't find anybody anywhere in the Word of God that ever got healed that didn't become a convert or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ there in the New Testament. So I'm out on a limb now, but I like the limb I'm on. Amen. So when that scripture says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, well, they'll have everything under the sun. Well, he was the son of Joseph. He wasn't really God's son. And he was a great man. He was a teacher come from God. John chapter 3, Nicodemus thought that. And you got people today are all messed up, even today, on who Jesus was. You've got a group of people out there, and they believe it's Jesus only, but they ain't talking about the Jesus of this Bible. Be careful with that. You say, well, man, how would I be able to? You discern it by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Believe not every spirit. Somebody comes down the pike, check them out. They tell you, oh, I'm a Jesus only guy. Yeah, I passed out tracts to a whole bunch of those people down there in Texas when I lived down there. And they'd all float down there in the summer because they couldn't make it in Detroit and New York and Chicago. Too cold for living in their van on the street. But they were that Jesus-only group. Say, did you reach any of them? I doubt it. But out there in that parking lot, I'll tell you what I did do. Me, my wife, drug Jeremiah along. He was just born. We preached to them. You never seen more people. They had their literature too. They'd go out flagging all the cars, and we'd pull up in there and get out of our car, a couple of us, and we'd have our wives and kids, and we'd pass out our tracts, but we took it that other step. Well, the Bible says, and we started preaching. You never seen people scatter so fast in all your life. They didn't tag them, and they were all ragtag and ratty looking. But they called us crazy. Call the cops, a bunch of crazy people out here again. So every spirit, now they didn't believe Jesus was God. And every, so you got to watch that. They're not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, Jeremiah was along these lines Wednesday night and talked about that. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. Well, it's here and it was there then. And even now already it is in the world. Brother, it's been in the world since Adam and Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. And brother, that promised seed was promised to come through Abel, and Cain killed him. You say, why? Now you say, well, how did he know all that? He didn't know all that. But there's this guy called Lucifer, the devil, who did know all that. He was in the garden. He caused the confusion. They bit, they fell, and then it's on. And the first murder was when Cain killed Abel. And say, what was it about? It was about the promised seed. It was about the right offering. It was about that seed that should bruise the head of Satan. Yeah, amen. That thing comes all the way through. So you've got Cain being the first one. You don't have to go too far in the Old Testament to find this guy Balaam. You got Genesis, Exodus. I'll get them backwards here. I can't even think this morning. But here in Numbers 22, that chapter is kind of dedicated to about this guy Balaam. Now, Balaam was the guy that was supposed to curse the children of Israel for the Moabites, and he's the one riding on the ass. And when the Lord told him not to go, when he went, the Lord can speak to whoever he wants to. And he was keen enough, con enough. He had a lot of folks fooled that he was an actual prophet of God. You know what? He's got people fooled today that think he's a true prophet of God. I got news for you. He was not a true prophet of God. See, how do you know? Not because of how I feel, although that's what they base their opinion on, but on what thus saith the Lord. I'll give you a verse or two in a minute. But Balaam, the Lord smote him, or he smote the ass, and then the angel of the Lord stood there with the sword drawn and said, hey, you don't need to be going down there. So Balaam is the typical hireling prophet. That's all he is. Seeking only to make a market or sell his gifts. He was actually a soothsayer and worked by other spirits. And he knew that the Spirit of God was all powerful, but he had never given himself to the Spirit of God. He worked with all the other spirits because he was making merchandise of anybody that would use him. And by the way, it was about the money, because he was offered payment to go in there and curse Israel. He didn't care who he was cursing. He didn't care if it was God's chosen people. I mean, he wasn't walking hand in hand with God in the cool of the day. He knew who God was. He knew the Spirit of God. But he also knew those other spirits, and his pocketbook itched more than his heart for the things of God. He wanted the carnal things. So here he shows up. Take your Bible and go to Jude. That little book of Jude. And look at verse 11, because the other prophets in the Bible speak of these problems that you have with false prophets and teachers. And somehow we live in an age, the last church age, when we want to think, and it's easy for that mindset because of our TVs and our programming and all that kind of stuff, our quote-unquote Christian programming, we just swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. And if you're not a student of the doctrines of this book, well, let me back up. If you don't read this book, don't study this book, don't know why you believe what you believe, you'll believe any slick-tongued devil that comes along. And that's what the challenge is for the man of God when he steps in the pulpit. He has to get up and teach and preach on Sundays and Wednesday nights. And a lot of times you'll have folks there that have watched, I don't like to call names, I just don't like, PTL and all that, those people, huh? Oh, yeah. And they've watched that 24/7 on their satellite dish. And when they come to church, they think you ought to act just like them and change your doctrine to line up with them. What are you smoking, man? Say, what is that Antichrist? It's not godly. It's a spirit. Oh, I could feel the spirit. I felt so good. They'll use terms like this, slain in the spirit. Show me that one in the Word of God. I can show you slain with the sword, this book, that thing. But no, they want that thing. Nobody knows what it is. It's just, oh, we're godly. We're holy. We pull, you know, they'll have doctrines. I heard this is a good one. I won't drop any names on this one, but had a person come to me and say, yeah, I know Joshua had one foot. He's laughing at me. He already knows where. I said, that blew us away, man. I said, what, one foot? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, in the Bible, Joshua only had one foot. We can prove that with the scriptures. I said, okay. All right. I'm talking to a full-blown false prophet. And she said, I said, well, how can that? And she said, I mean, he, did I say she? But, well, when he was over there and he was standing there, God told him to take thy shoe off thy foot, for thou art on holy ground. And he said, that proves right there he only had one foot. And so we know he only had one foot. That, my friend, is false doctrine. And you say, well, that's just funny. I know it's funny. But you know what that leads to? other false doctrines that are more damnable than that. When you get to believe in that little stuff and letting it go and letting it trickle in, and people, oh yeah, it's all about the feeling, the emotion. Next thing you know, you got a monster on your hands, and it's a demonic thing. So Balaam, I was in Jude, and I wanted you to read verse 11. Woe unto them. And he's talking, the book of Jude is about apostasy, and that's a word that means a falling away or the falling into sin of religious people. And if not saved, just religious people. And there by verse 8, the apostate teachers are described. And when you look in Jude 8 down through verse 11, likewise also these filthy dreamers. And, you know, people get all upset today if you call somebody that's preaching a heresy a GOV. You know, everybody likes acronyms. I just thought, generation of vipers. If you say something like that, people get offended. And you're thinking, why? Jesus called them a generation of vipers. But here he calls them filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, and they'll always work on the flesh. And that's why your body, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is supposed to be crucified so that you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not letting it do the things it wants to do that it has the propensity to do. And he says here, despise dominions and speak evil of dignities. That's these false teachers. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he's involved, he disputed about the body of Moses, dost not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, and that's a good stand to take. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. In other words, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and some of these false prophets they're not even saved. And that's scary enough, but when you get somebody that claims to be saved and got off into false doctrine someplace, and he's preaching false doctrine and claims to be a child of God, man, that is a problem. Watch, he says, as brute beast. In those things, they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, he defines them. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. There's your first false prophet. Watch, and ran greedily after the heir. Well, look who shows up, Balaam. And for reward, what? Well, yeah, the hireling's always looking for a buck. Yeah, a happy buck. You know, and he says, perished in the gainsayings of Kor. There's another one that's lined out as evil. If you read the notes on that, and when I say notes in your Bible, so on, the sins of Kor was denial of the authority of Moses as God's chosen spokesman and intrusion into the priest's office. And, you know, God killed him for that. Now, that's Old Testament. You got some of the same stuff going on in church today. Well, you don't have no business being a pastor. First time, I was so proud Brother Tom took this church and he was working. He surrendered to pastor. Man, I'm like this. I mean, I've been praying for that man for at least 3 or 4 minutes, but no, most of my life. And he'd always come and see me. And I'd say, man, when are you getting off the road? Oh, well, I don't know. I'm a witness now, you tell me. But when he took a church, and I was so proud, and I told somebody, Tom Holt took a church. He's going to pastor a church over there. That guy, supposedly good. He ain't got no business pastoring a church. That's what, I'm looking at him like, well, why not? But man, some people get it, and some people don't. And brother, again, say, what is that? Just false doctrine. God calls a man to preach. He wants him to preach, amen. He didn't call him just for the fun of it, amen. So you go on and you do what you... But Jude 11, so the doctrines of Balaam, take your Bible right there, Revelations 2. Oh, I'm out of time. Revelations 2, look at verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast hit there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam,
who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And man, when you read that thing right there, and you know that the book of Revelations is, you know, pointing up the things of the Antichrist, and this is the way of Balaam, and characterizes false teachers or the heir of Balaam. And then Revelation 2:14, where we just read, refers to his teaching Balaam to corrupt the people, Balak to corrupt the people whom he would not curse. And that's back in Numbers 31. We won't run it. That's also in Numbers 25, 1 through 3. And that's also in James 4, 4. So his doctrine was to have Israel marry women of Moab, defile their separation, and abandon their pilgrim character. I wrote this down so I could remember it. It is that union of the world and the church, which is spiritual unchastity, James 4, 4. Pergamos is the church we're reading about there in Revelation chapter 2. Pergamos had lost the pilgrim characteristics and character and was dwelling where the Bible says Satan's throne is. What does that mean? In other words, they were dwelling in the world. So the last days, false prophets, it's bigger now than it ever was, because churches across the land, and I'm talking fundamental Bible-believing churches, have ushered in worldliness, which is anything that has to do with the world. It can be their music, it can be their methods, it can be their motives, all the above. And you say, what is that? That leads to false doctrine and false teaching. You let that thing go long enough, that thing will blow sky high. So preachers and teachers and pastors, and they have their hands full just teaching and preaching and watching over the flock, so none of that stuff happens. Okay, I'm out of time, so next week we'll take off there again. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Bless the scriptures, and then help us as we get into our morning service. Bless the songs and the service and the preaching and all.